Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. And Father, I'm hoping that we were pleasing in your sight tonight. I hope, Father God, that we accomplished what you wanted us to accomplish during the praise and worship. And Father God, we truly desire to fight, and not only to fight, but to win the battle. And Father, we need to start going into the battle knowing we've already won the victory because you've already accomplished the battle before we got into it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's going to be a whole lot of things coming down the road real quickly. And Catherine, didn't you say something to me about why we're supposed to have Christmas early this year? Wait, where's the internet with the flashlight, I was going to say. We need some light flashed on to us, right, every now and then.
This morning, I was reminded that you spoke to us and said God said to decorate early or celebrate early because the battle was going to be raging, so to speak, ahead. So I think that's a part of this discouragement thing. But yeah.
Yeah, he wanted us to get all joyed up.
Yes.
Before we had to go through this stuff. All right. And so he told us what to do. Now, if we didn't do it, that's our fault. And if we did do it, and then all of a sudden we forget what he said, because we so quickly forget what he said, and we're allowing the enemy to steal our joy, then we have to get our joy back. That's just all there is to it. You know, the words out there that they're going to take the president out of office and stick the vice president in office, all right? I think that Catherine sent me this prophetic word, didn't you, Catherine? And this is what it says. I gave it on January the 20th, 2021. Daughter, each second brings America closer to destruction. The protective barrier was torn down when they removed my chosen son, Donald J. Trump, out of the office of President of these United States of America. Now the chaos will begin. Now those naysayers are going to see what they have done. Great gnashing of teeth will begin. You wait and see what Kamala Harris has in store for America. She is gross darkness, and that gross darkness would cover this earth if I allowed it to. But I will not allow that to happen. My word tells you that you must reap what you have sown, and America has reaped so much destruction in the past 4 years. Yes, the remnant prayed and fasted, and yes, some in my houses upheld my man of the hour, but so many did not. I must deal with the naysayers, and I must bring them to the courtroom in heaven, and they must be judged for who they truly are. This is not over. I am not finished with America. I will use President Donald J. Trump to finish draining the swamp, and America will be great once again. And I know that that is what God is working on, and that's what he's going to do. Now, we have to do our part. We have to be praying about the elections. We have to be praying about who's in office. And we have to, because if you're really reading the news, and I try not to, but I have been, I mean, we're in a mess. You know, China has us in a mess, too. And we need to, God's children are supposed to be wise. And we're supposed to be able to lead other people. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we're going to walk around just as, you know, as stupid as other people are. And the devil's going to win. But we're not going to allow that to happen, are we? You know, and I was reading something where somebody has to get in a step and say it's wrong. And I'm not even talking about politics. It's talking about the schools. But we've sat back and was quiet too long. And that's why our school system is in the mess it's in. And that's why our kids are in the mess they're in, because we, as the grown-ups, did not get in there and say, hey, this is not right, and we're not going to accept this. You know, and be praying and have God's direction. So each one of us, I hope and pray from tonight on that you'll take a different view of what your walk is with God. And it's just not to come into church and sing and dance. It's just not to sit and hear the gospel. But it's also to do your part out there in the world. And make sure that we allow God the grace to move his hand when he needs to move it. All right? There's so much going on in the body of Christ. I have never, we're supposed to be hospitals, right? This church isn't even a hospital. There's too much backbiting and gossiping, you know, and you, people wear two faces, and God's not pleased with all that. If you read the Bible in Acts, the reason why God's glory fell so strong was because there was unity. They were in one place, in one accord. There is unity. And God can move where there is unity. Do you wonder why the glory isn't here in all of its fullness? Stop and think. Are you a backbiter? Are you a gossiper? You know, are you a troublemaker? Or are you bringing peace in the body of Christ? You know, we have to think about all these things. These are, I'm just hearing God say, these are issues that the church has not really addressed, and the church has gotten out of hand. And you know, not, you know, you guys, just think about it. Are you out of hand? You know, are you holding a hand to God, and you're doing what God's telling you to do? You know, you might only be really, really, really saved maybe 2-3 years. God doesn't expect as much out of you as he expects out of us who've been saved for 30 years. You see, and he gives you the grace to grow, but he wants you to grow. He does not want you to stay stagnant. He wants you to start growing. And so you're battling a lot of things, you know, in your own life. Don't let those things take you out. Don't let those things take you out. You just stand strong and you keep fighting the battle. And see, we should be able to call everybody in this church and say, Sister Nancy's having a great big battle day. Just everybody pray, and we should be able to pray and see that thing disappear. But we can't do that. Certain people you can't call because the first thing to do is start gossiping. You know, or, you know, all kind of things go on. Well, they deserve what they get, that kind of stuff. And see, that's not God. You don't see God. You don't see that in God's word anywhere. We have to love our brothers and our sisters. Even when we have our, you know, staff meetings, what do you do with the information that you heard in the staff meeting? Do you pray about it, or do you carry out and talk about it? You know, just things to think about it. And you can't lead somebody else if you yourself are not teachable. And you know, and I just think it's wonderful how God talked to Catherine, and she sent that to me earlier this morning, and I thought, you know, this is really uplifting and encouraging. You know, to remind us that he gave it to us to celebrate Christmas early and have a lot of joy because the battle was coming. And I thought it was uplifting that she said it's discouragement. And everybody's discouraged right now that talks to me. Everybody is. They're writing, you know, they're calling, they need prayer because, you know, the whole world has come down on them. Well, all hell's come up on them. That's what we should say. And we need one another. I don't know about you, but I need you all. I can't do this on my own. And we need to pray for one another. And we just need to start praying, even fasting more than we ever have. Okay, then, so God is saying that he wants to do a great rescue suddenly for his people. And, you know, this is why I say, please, if you're fighting through something, keep fighting. Because God says suddenly he's in a wink of his eye, he's going to change your life. He's going to change everything around about you. And we have to embrace that and embrace one another and keep encouraging one another. And when God lets you know a brother or sister's having a rough day, you know, if you want to call them and say, God just told me I need to pray for you, you know, and pray with them or just pray for them. But just don't let that pass because the devil's trying to take them out. All right. All right, God is saying that his children will be greatly blessed. And God said grace upon grace is going to be pouring forth from heaven on the world. Hearts that have never truly turned from evil and sincerely turned to me will receive a divine touch that will motivate many to come to us. So see what he says there? Those who have not truly turned from evil, you're still fighting these demons that you've been fighting, and sincerely turned to me will receive a divine touch that will motivate many to come to us. My glory, God says, my glory will fall and my children will be greatly blessed in so many ways, not just physical healing, but in every area of their lives. Relationships restored, finances given to them, salvation to their loved ones, destinies fulfilled, heart desires easily accomplished, spouses given to the lonely, suddenly joy and peace to the forlorn, the oppressed, or set free. Look what we're going into. Look what God's getting ready to do for us. Wonderful things. And this is why the enemy's fighting you right now tooth and nail. He wants to take you out before these things happen. I mean, God could just drop down tonight if he wanted to. But maybe there's something still in us that he needs to get out of us. And he knows if he dropped that on us right now tonight, those things that are still in there will destroy whatever he did for us tonight. All right, God said, all this and even more is coming to my children. It is not far off or a waiting game you are embarking on. The heavens are rent and the blessings are pouring forth. The more I am worshipped, the more freedom, prosperity, and glory will be poured out on the worshipers and those that they stand in the gap for. Now, you know, Sister Catherine, she worships all the time, and so she gets a lot of words from God. Therese Ann said she was just driving in her car going down the road and worshiping, and all of a sudden God spoke to her. Sister Adriana was just worshiping the Father with Brandon Lake, and God gave her a prophetic word. It's in the worship. See, let's just start worshiping. Little Isaiah, if he thinks there's going to be trouble in our room, he starts singing God's songs and dancing because he said, let's not argue. You know, he starts worshiping because he doesn't want the arguing. He'd rather have Jesus in the room. So he's learned that if you worship, you know, then the devil has to flee. All right, God said, we're going to go from death to life. God said, you will see the valley of the dry bones fulfilled. Remember, God's been talking about that. As my prophets declare my words in the glory and in my steer, I'm sorry, you will see the valley of the dry bones fulfilled. As my prophets declare my words in the glory and my spirit is released. You know, we all need the prophets. And I just hope that each one of you in here, because I know that God has told you you're going to prophesy. I just hope that you're really letting God zoom in on that gifting and let him increase that thing where you will be used to prophesy. Because it's just, you know, this is a prophetic church, so you should prophesy anyhow. But you should be able to carry that gifting outside of those doors and prophesy to people. But don't let it be fake. Let it be God moving on you, because we've seen a lot of people walk out of these doors and prophesy to people and ruin their lives. You know, and I tell them that's not God, but no, I trust this person. And it destroyed them. So when you prophesy to somebody outside these doors, make sure it's God speaking through you. All right. And you might not be eloquent in your words. God uses you with your personality. So don't try to talk like somebody else. Let God talk through you. All right, God said many who were dead are going to come to life, dead in their trespasses and sins, dead in despair and unbelief, dead in sickness, diseases, and hopelessness. See that? God's going to bring all those people to life. What are you going to do with them? Resurrection power, enough to bring a valley filled with dead, dry bones back to life, is coming to this world. Not just to the church, but to this world. Because we do have worshipers who worship in spirit and truth, and prophets who declare our words. And that's why God's going to do this. I just think it's wonderful how God chastises us all the time. I really do. It gets us right so that we can get all the giftings and all the blessings that he wants to pour out upon us. And that means he loves us. I mean, really, truly, what he did, the songs, that means he loves us. He said, they're just not winning the battle, and they have to learn to win the battle. He loves you so much, he does not want to see you go down. All right? All right, then he said, great grace is being poured out. Great grace was poured out on this world 2,000 years ago, and you will see great grace pouring out again. In a greater measure. See, the in a greater measure. Remember, God said to me, don't have what you used to have, because what I'm going to give you is so much greater. So don't want what you had yesterday, because what God is going to give you in the days ahead is so much greater than what you just left. Let go of it. Let go of it. Let's just move on. All right, in a greater measure, you will see those respond to the outpouring of my grace than has ever happened in the past. See that? Yes, the masses will run into my open arms to receive my forgiveness and my love like never before. When I pour out my spirit, multitudes will receive my goodness and be transformed into true sons and daughters. See, what is it? True sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm excited more so tonight than I have been in a couple months, because I feel like God did something to each one of your lives in here tonight. I think he transformed you in some way, shape, or form for the good, not for the evil. And you know, if you get upset when you think I'm chastising you, because God uses me to do that, then you know that you need the deliverance or something, because you shouldn't get upset if somebody's trying to tell you that you're doing something wrong. You know, and I never try to hinder you. I always try to help you. And you who have been with me for quite a few years, you know, I push you forth even when I know you're in sin. I push you forth, encouraging you, knowing that if you go forth, God can take away that sin nature. And because you have something in you that God needs to use, there's other people out there that need what you have. You two right there, do you understand how much you have in you that other people need? You know, you could even start your own church one day, because of the knowledge that God is dropping in the both of you. And even when you go up here and out in the spirit, God is filling you full of his heavenly things. And one day they're going to burst wide open. All right? God isn't doing anything for nothing in this room. He's always has a purpose for everything he does. All right, God said, this world has offered much, but as my people received the world's treasures, they found the price they paid was way too high. Emptiness fills the hearts of those who thought what the world offered would satisfy them. That emptiness and disillusionment will motivate the masses to run and receive all that I offer. Darkness will be exchanged. Okay, so I heard Alan say, that's right. See, he knows. Now, he's going to be able to give his testimony to somebody else and not let them go down the same path he went down. Just like that time I told God, I'll be upset if I want to be. He said, go ahead. Because he already told me, don't you get upset. Everybody's telling me I should be upset. And I said, well, I'll be upset if I want to be. He let me be upset for one whole year. The only time I was anointed when I was sitting behind the pulpit. Otherwise, I was in a dry place. Believe me, I won't go there again. And I've warned you guys over and over again, listen to God's voice. Do what he's telling you to do. You don't want to go into that dry place. Do they, Alan? No, they don't. All right. Darkness will be exchanged for the light, lies for the truth, counterfeit for the real, and poverty for true riches that I alone give. All right. Let's read that again. It said that emptiness and disillusionment will motivate the masses to run and receive all I offer. Darkness will be exchanged for the light, lies for the truth, counterfeit for the real, and poverty for true riches that I don't give. I will perform my, in other words, the world won't have anything to offer you. You just flat know that it doesn't have anything. I will perform my promise to give all else to those who seek me and my righteousness first. A changing of the guard is coming. God told us that years ago too, didn't he? Isn't this something how God tells us years ago things, and we think they're going to happen right now? The glory thing, I think, thing has been going, what did you say, 15 years now, Chris? You know, when he told me to tell them the glory's coming, he said, and don't grow weary in telling them. He knew it was going to be 15 years down the road. All right, so how many years was it? God spoke and said the Savior was coming, the Messiah was coming. And Chris told me 400 years. I said, look, those people waited 400 years to see Jesus. One man said, I'm not going to die till I see the Messiah. So he must have been 400 years old or more. Think about it. You just got to think about this. I was listening to I was reading something the other day, and it said that they found a whole city that is 8,000 years old. And I says, and Jesus has only been there 2,000. So they lived 6,000 years without Jesus. It's awesome, isn't it? You know, if you really stop and listen to Bible, I don't know why, but I'm really interested in Bible history right now. And, you know, like they said, that they actually have proven that David actually lived. I never thought he did. I didn't know they didn't think he lived. But they've actually found proof of where he lived and everything. I thought, well, I just know people think dumb things. I just believe my word. I don't have to go dig up the ashes. Yeah, I just believe what God says. All right, so God said a changing of the guard is coming. Their created will return to their creator. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's talking about love that turns the hearts of men. Much love will be pouring out on this world. You hear that? Why has he been trying to make you a love vessel? Because he's going to use you to pour that love out onto other people. You and I found out the more love you give to people, the more love God gives back to you. You can't outgive God. Whatever you give away, he just fills you more and more and more with it. Amen. Much love will be pouring out on this world. My love will turn the hearts of men to me. There will also be a great return of those who once followed my son. The prodigals are coming home. Many will leave the trappings of this world and run into my arms to receive the true love that they yearn for. You know, the world is looking for love and they don't even know what they're looking for. You know, and that's why you have all the perversion, all the other junk, the drugs and the alcohol, because they're looking for something to satisfy that what only God can satisfy. And that's the love of Christ. God said, each of my children was sent to the earth to receive and to give love. I think it's awesome. He said, each of my children was sent to the earth. So he had to come from heaven, right? To receive and to give love. Nothing truly satisfies anyone except what they were made for, to be loved and to love. You know, if you husbands and wives, if you just learned to love your mate, you would be in heaven itself. I mean, you'd just be so delirious you wouldn't be able to contain yourself. But see, this is what's wrong with people. There's no love. There's just no love. And you don't trust one another. And you're always watching to see what they're doing to make sure they're doing what's right. Come on. You're wasting your life. You're so busy wondering what they're doing that you're not living. You need to quit that if you're doing that. And just go ahead and live. They're going to do what they're going to do anyhow. I can tell you that after all the years I've lived. There's nothing that you can do about stopping them from doing what they're going to do. God told me one time, if I can't change, my Holy Spirit can't change them. Why do you think you can? They are who they are. And they have to determine to be changed. You can't do that for them. Amen. The counterfeits the enemy has presented to this world are being seen for what they are. Cheap baubles compared to the genuine and true. And they are being rejected wholesale. The enemy has nothing of value to offer you. Absolutely nothing. Come on. I'm hearing God say we need to be trendsetters and show the world that we have more than they have. We have Jesus. Amen. And that we can love the unlovable. We can love those who come against us and persecute us. Come on. Wow. Are you a trendsetter? Let's start being trendsetters tonight, all right? Let's start showing the world who Jesus really is. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's everything you ever need. That's why marriages don't work too, because they don't know Jesus. Therefore, they don't know love, and they keep searching and searching and searching. But once you know Jesus, love is just part of your life. My mother used to say to me, she said, I wish you wouldn't care for people as much as you do, she said. I was always dragging somebody home. But, you know, I just love people. I get frustrated at people, but that doesn't take my love away. There's a difference, right? I know you all get frustrated with me because I see it in your faces. But that's all right. You still love me, right? Sure you do. Or you won't be sitting here. It takes you to love me an awful lot to sit through what I put you through sometimes, right? Well, you're the same way. I really have to love you to put up with you, too. I'm just joking. Works both ways, doesn't it? That's what you ought to tell your kids. Look, hey, you know, we love you. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And if they really love you, they'll accept what you're saying. You listening? I don't know where I'm at even. All right, he said the effects of the mandates. God said, by shutting down the world, the enemy tried to rob my children from receiving the love of their friends and families. Isn't that what happened? And the opportunities to give their love to them, as well as keeping them from receiving my love in their assemblies and giving me back love and worship in return. In other words, you know, he shut down everything. How many of you don't even care to go shopping, really, because you go out there and there, nothing's the same, is it? Yeah, there's no, you know, in the air, there's no activity in the air, and everybody's rude to everybody. And, you know, you just, I don't know about you, but I don't care to be in that. And so what you do, you sort of become a recluse, and you shouldn't do that. You know, that's what the enemy wants you to do, right? He wants you to separate from the people of the world so that you don't bring the love of God into the world. Isn't that neat? God just told me that. We can take that to the bank, right? How about that? Okay, we're mad. Frustration is drawing my children to leave what this world is offering them and motivating many to love. The enemy's schemes have backfired. Love is the greatest force, far greater than jealousy, hatred, selfishness, and greed. Losing love has caused many to run where true love can be found and given. How many of you know that when you love somebody, you'll go to them when you're hurting? You know, and you know, if you love somebody, you know they're hurting, you want to give them love and encourage them. And this is what God's talking about here. Love is the greatest force, far greater than jealousy, hatred, selfishness, and greed. Losing love has caused many to run where true love can be found and given. The world was robbed of love. Now my children are truly hungry for love and ready to receive my love as I pour it out on each of them. The love star will be satisfied. And do you know what? You guys are the ones that God's going to use as vessels of love to pour out onto other people. One. You know, I really have a heart for people that are on drugs and standing along the street corners, looking, you know, wanting money. And you know, I always give it to them. But, you know, some people say, well, they need to go to work. You know, they can't go to work. They can't function because the enemy has them on the drugs and all they know is get another fix. And if you don't help somebody, how are they going to know that there's love out there in the world? Are you understanding this? Let's start helping the down and outers. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Let's start showing them the love of Jesus. Just pour Jesus that's in us into the other people. All right, God's rescue event. God said, I will raise my arm of justice over this world, and it will come down on those who executed injustice rampantly. Because of my love for my suffering children, I shall arise and rescue the downtrodden suddenly. Yes, I say suddenly because no one will see what I do before I launch my rescue event. Surprised will this world be and at the same time relieved. How many of you are waiting for those suddenlies that God's been talking about? You know, I don't care what the enemy's doing to us. Remember, he can't kill you. He can do anything else he wants to, too, but he can't kill you. And so just always remember that whenever he comes, he just say, you can't kill me. You can't kill me. And he'll soon leave you. When he knows that you have that embedded in your spirit, man, that he can't kill you, because that's his object is to kill you, then he's going to leave you alone. Are you guys understanding this? I mean, I'm hearing God say he will pressure you and pressure you and pressure you to give in to his wiles. But he's saying, don't allow him to do that. Don't allow him to pressure you. I mean, while he's pressuring you, say, can't kill me. Can't kill me. I mean, I know I've been going through that for quite a few years, and God told me I was going to go through it. He said, but one thing he can't do is kill you. So that's why I throw in his face all the time. I know that makes him mad because that's what he's after. He's after to kill us. If you're a threat to him, he's really after to kill you. All right, injustice shall be dealt a death blow. Did we read that? No. There are those who think they are okay, and no one truly knows what is inside their hearts or what they have done. They are only fooling themselves. All the damage that they have done will be exposed for all to see. Yes, they will openly reap what they have sown. Tricksters are each one. Their wicked schemes will no longer remain hidden, nor will they continue to deceive others and rob what they have no right to. Even the reputations of the innocent. My friends will be vindicated, see that? Exonerated and fully restored. God's told us that we don't need to vindicate ourselves. And how many of us want to sometimes vindicate ourselves? Let's just be honest. We're human. We want to vindicate ourselves, but God said, don't do that. I'm going to vindicate you. And when God vindicates you, believe me, you're vindicated. Nobody can question whether things are right or wrong. So God said, injustice shall be dealt a death blow. Yes, both in the national scene and in the lives of individuals. No one shall escape my just judgment. Divine is coming. God is going to make your enemies pay. Remember, God, doesn't God's word say you don't have any enemies? Your enemies are my footstool. And then why do we entertain these enemies that are underneath Jesus' feet? God just told me that too. But we do that, don't we? We're dumb human beings. Huh? We're dumb sheep. Keep me away from the water, I'll drown myself. Right? All right, God said, your children will be restored to you, and so will mine. Just as the wicked will reap just punishments, the righteous will reap their just rewards, and they will be delighted and satisfied. What was stolen will be restored. When God said that, I like to do the dance. Because hasn't the enemy stolen so much from from us? You know, he's stolen about everything he can steal, except our breath. Right? All right, so showers of blessings and an avalanche of healing and miracles. God said, watch and see as I do shower blessings from heaven on my faithful children. A great avalanche of healing and miracles is coming to the earth. Yes, this outpouring of signs of my love and my power will birth a corresponding love and sincere worship from my appreciative children. Worship, true worship, will pour out of their hearts as devotion grows from them towards us. I just know that this church is going to be one big house of worship. I just know that you guys are going to be so excited and get into worshiping so strong that the Spirit of God is going to fall and y'all won't even be able to stand up, you know, as your worship. We'll be laying on the floor singing. That's why I stay in my seat. Because the Spirit hits me enough, if I stand up, I'm not going to make it. All right, expectant faith. Why are you surprised by the wonders you see us perform before your eyes? Be in awe, but don't be shocked that I, your faithful, powerful, good God, have performed my promises to you. I promised that I would pour my glory out and that you would see lives changed. Now listen to this. The sick healed. Lives change is what excited me. The sick healed and the oppressed delivered, and I am performing my promises. You know, sometimes we look at people and, you know, they still have a sin nature. But, you know, you don't understand, and I know this because of Larry, you don't understand how hard they're fighting to be set free. Because God said to him one day, and he was sitting there, he said, nobody but you and I know how hard you're fighting to be set free. So I started paying attention. That man fought with every fiber of his being to be set free. You know, he struggled and struggled, but he finally got set free. He never gave up. That man would sit at the computer and read scripture after scripture after scripture for healing. He fought day and night to be set, but it took him years. He didn't get set free till right before he died. But he didn't give up either. He kept fighting. You know, he just kept fighting. So that Jesus didn't give up either, did he, in the garden? He still fought his emotions and everything else he was going through. And he made it to the cross. All right, when a parent promises a treat to his or her child, is a child shocked when they are given the promised treat? No. The child is actually waiting with expectant arms outstretched to receive it. There is such an expectancy that the child even grows impatient waiting for their treat. We're impatient, aren't we? I want that treat. I want the glory to fall in all its fullness. You know, I want the miracles to work. Do the same. Come to me like an expectant child, arms open wide, ready to receive my promised blessings. Let excitement and gratitude fill your heart like a child and rejoice in the goodness of your Father. I know Alan just can't wait to see God move upon his daughter. That's the biggest desire of his heart. I can't wait for God to move upon my kids either. And I know each one of you are sitting in here, you know, and Barbara has testified how God's finally moved upon her, some of her children. And she's excited about that. And see, God wants us to be expectant, not say, well, I wonder if it's really going to happen, but to be expectant, and then God can move with your expectancy. God said, this is a trust I'm looking for in my children, trust that fuels faith. Rejoice when we deliver our promises to you like a child would. Dance with delight, clap your hands, and sing forth your praises. Then enjoy your blessings and share them with others so they too can experience my goodness. You know, that's the only way the world's going to grow is if each one of us make the breakthrough, and then we're rejoicing and telling everybody else why we're so happy. Expect many more miracles like popcorn popping. Watch and see an explosion of miracles as my fire falls. And God said, from morning to night, from light to darkness, I am there. When dark times descend on my children, I am there to light the way and even carry those who placed their trust in me. I have carried my faithful ones many times, and that is why they noticed that they had a deep, abiding peace in spite of the difficult times they were experiencing or what the world around them was going through. You know, when you think you're not making it, God is carrying you. He showed me that one time about myself many years ago. When I thought I was going under, he gave me a vision of him carrying me until I could stand on my own 2 feet. And so he's doing that to everybody in this room. He just doesn't do it to one person. And, you know, when I was going through that terrible time, I thought I was going to drown. Been here all the time. He had me in his arms. Just encouraged me to go on. We need to do that with others that are drowning. Now, if my children will let me carry them continually through life, they will always have great peace in their hearts and minds. When each one believes in what I have said and they place their full trust in us, then I am carrying them. Keep speaking the truth. That is all I need my bride to do. Speak the truth about me, about what I am saying, and about the schemes of the enemy. Hold nothing back. In other words, you've got to tell the world that there's an enemy out there, and the enemy's trying to kill you. And then you also have to tell them about the love of Jesus, and that Jesus is there, and he's fighting for your life. Because they don't know that. All they can see is the war going on. They don't know that there's somebody in heaven who's praying for them and holding them up. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, is what God said. Let your faith arise when you speak to demons, when you command my children to be healed, and when you release my blessings like Paul did when he commanded a demon to leave the slave girl. Find that in Acts 16:16-34. God said, words are what the enemy uses to destroy lives. He lies. Words are what we use to restore, heal, deliver, and bless. We speak the truth. Yes, the truth must be spoken now, excuse me, and you will see great victories. God taught us to do war and praise and worship. Now he encouraged us that he's going to come with a great rescue suddenly and rescue us from the snare of the fowler. Excuse me. Where are you at? Where are you at in this little scenario that's going on right now? Are you on top? Are you in the middle, or are you down on the molly grubs where you seem like you're just never going to make it? wherever you're at, God wants to meet you right now. The altar's open for that.